All right, good morning. Hope you have a Bible. Let's turn to Mark chapter 1 in your Bible. And verse 40, we're going down towards the end of that chapter. So Mark 1, verse 40. Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 40. If you know about the Gospels, this is all about Jesus Christ, his earthly life. And in Mark, chapter 1 covers so many different events that take the other gospel writers a few chapters to cover. So Mark is very much to the point. It's the shortest gospel. And when I read Mark, it's Jesus Christ in action. He's going here, he's going there, he's preaching, he's healing. And it's a good reminder that if you know Jesus Christ, you are to be a person of action. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. What's the next book? Acts. And it's Acts of the Apostles. Do you know what the apostles were doing in the book of Acts? They were going one place to another, preaching, teaching, healing. A lot like Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ wants his people to be people of action. So, starting with that, I'm glad you're here. And I hope you listen to what God's Word says. But don't be that person that hears and then does nothing about it. God wants us to take what we get here and then be people of action, not just hearers, but doers of His Word. So, start with that. Let's go to verse 40. And there's something here for all of us today. Verse 40, and there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, and so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. So the message this morning is about this man who comes to Jesus Christ, who's a leper, and he is cleansed. And even though this is something that happened a long time ago, like I said, there's something here for all of us. So I'll pray, and it'd be great if we all prayed that the Lord would use the message for all of us on a personal level today and throughout the week. So let's do that. Lord God, we know that you have something for everybody today, and I just pray that you, and only you can, make this message personal for all of us this morning. I pray that we would be encouraged, we'd be convicted, we would just receive whatever truth you give us this morning. And I pray that all of us deal honestly with you and your word. May we not try to hide behind something, but truthfully deal with you as we should and with an honest heart. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would just really be at work in all of us today. We need your help understanding the things we're going to look at. We need your help applying them as well. I pray that the name of Jesus Christ be lifted up and exalted today, as is the greatest name of all that should be exalted. And we want to pray all these things in his name. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question to start with. Have you ever noticed that you smell bad? Nobody wants to own up. My mother says this: if you start smelling yourself, other people have been smelling you for 3 days. And as a kid, that made my head spin. I thought, Mom, I just started smelling myself today. I know I took a shower yesterday. So that can't be that people have been smelling me for 3 days. But she was just trying to prove a point that, obviously, if you smell bad, what do you need to do? You get cleaned up. So the message this morning is how to be clean. And I don't know about you, but I like things clean. But things aren't always clean. Is that the case with your house or your car or your office? I like things clean, and I think that probably has a lot to do with my mother. My mother is the queen of keeping a clean house. My wife can tell you this. There are times when my mom says, the house is a mess. And I'll think, you should come to my house, or to my office, or to my car, and I will show you a real mess. And my mom is just one of those people that the littlest thing out of place, or if she hasn't dusted the shelves in a day or two, then it's dirty, at least in her eyes. And if she hasn't ran the vacuum cleaner in the last 48 hours, then it's dirty. That's just kind of how she is. But I like things clean. And the thing about keeping things clean that we struggle with, it takes time and effort to keep things clean, doesn't it? That's why things aren't always clean. We often lack the time or effort, or we just don't take the time or the effort to clean things. So I want you to think about this. When a man cleans something, when you and I clean something, time and effort are required. When God cleans something, it's a whole lot different. So I want to really focus on God's method of cleansing today, but we'll try to use a few illustrations along the way about how we try to clean things up. So let's hop right in here to the passage we looked at. We'll look at some others as well, but look right there at verse 40 and notice that this leper comes to Jesus Christ and he says something very, very important regarding being clean. Look at verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me what? Okay, so this leper wanted to be clean. He didn't want to be unclean anymore. So the message this morning is how to be clean. And to be clean in the sight of the Lord, there are three things that you need. Three things you need to be clean. And the first one is right in that verse. This leper comes to Jesus Christ with an acknowledgement. So here's number one. If you want to be clean, there's three things you need. Number one, the right acknowledgement. Here's the acknowledgement. I am dirty. Did you notice there? He says in verse 40, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He's acknowledging that he is unclean, that he's dirty. So we often are okay saying that our physical body is dirty, and we're okay with cleaning it up. But how is it when it comes to you and your spiritual standing before God right now? I'll just ask you, are you clean? And you'll be put to the test this morning. The first thing you have to do to be clean is acknowledge that you're dirty. What does that mean? Well, let's go to Romans chapter 3. Spiritually, what does it mean to be dirty? Romans chapter 3 clears this all up. Romans 3, going on to verse 9. And we'll look at a few verses here in this chapter. Romans 3, verse 9. You need the right acknowledgement. You need to acknowledge that you're dirty before the Lord. Well, let's get the actual terminology from the Bible down about what we need to say other than that we're dirty. 3:9. Now, this is Paul talking, and he's a Jew. So look what he says here in verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Talking about the Gentiles. No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under, help me out, folks, they are all under sin. Now watch 10, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, let me just ask you a question. You don't need to answer out loud, but does the none righteous, no, not one, does the none that doeth, no, not one, does that include you? You don't have to answer out loud, but let me just give you some important info. It does include you. It includes me. It's everybody in here. We are all born into this world as sinners. I know that's hard for a lot of people to acknowledge. Now, maybe not this crowd, but I know that I don't like to acknowledge that I am ever wrong. But you know what? I am often wrong. You know why I am often wrong? Because I am, by nature, being born in this world, I am a sinner. And what do sinners like to do? They like to make it seem like they're not really all that bad. Sinners like to hide behind certain things so that their sin is not exposed. We won't go over there this morning, but this goes back to Genesis 3. What did Adam and Eve do the very moment after they sinned? They realized they were naked. And what did they do, folks? They hid from God. And then the Lord shows up. He comes to the woman, and she refused to take personal ownership. Who did she blame? She blamed the serpent. God goes to Adam. He refused to take personal ownership. This is a theme in our world today. Nobody wants to own their behavior. It goes all the way back to Genesis 3, and it's because we're sinners. The first man and woman had this problem. So, obviously, you and I are going to have the same problem. Adam says, it wasn't my fault, it was the woman. Folks, even though we don't like to acknowledge we are wrong, the first step to being clean is acknowledging you are wrong. What I mean is, you are dirty because you are a sinner. I don't care if you took 10 showers this morning. That does nothing for you spiritually. So the first thing you need in order to be clean in God's eyes is the right acknowledgement. Go to verse 23. As if the point hasn't already been made, Paul was really, really good, and obviously this is under inspiration of God. The Lord's really good about driving a point home so that we don't forget what we really are. Verse 23, probably familiar to you. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, if you are here this morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that means, now you want to check yourself here, if you say you're saved, that means there was a time when you acknowledged before God that you are a sinner and you need a Savior. That is the first step to being clean. If you would, we're going to go to the Old Testament for this one. Go to Psalm 51. And again, just trying to drive this point home. And the reason why I'm trying to drive this point home is, hey, I've been saved a while. I know there's folks here who have been saved a lot longer than I. I don't care how long you've been saved, your flesh does not like to acknowledge that it's wrong or that you have sinned. Your flesh loves to make excuses for what you do that is not right, that is against God. So let's make sure we get this nailed down here. If you're saved, you have your sins forgiven forever. Amen? However, your fellowship with God can be broken when you sin, and you need to be restored. And to do that, there needs to be an acknowledgement that you have sinned. So go to Psalm 51. Look at verse 1. Now, this is a little different than your New Testament, but there's some truths here that are obviously good for us. This is before the cross, so that's why there's a little difference, but something to learn here. If you've been here on Sunday nights with our studies, all Scripture is profitable, right? So there is even something practical here that we can get from this passage. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out. Now, what's that next word, folks? My transgressions. This is David that wrote here. David was a man after God's own heart. But you know what David's problem was? He still had a sin problem. He says, blot out my transgressions. This is a guy that knows the Lord. But if you know this passage, this is right after he committed a great sin with Bathsheba. So look at verse 2. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Notice the personal ownership David associates with his sin. He owns it. Verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Now watch verse 4. Against thee, he's talking to God, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Verse 5, behold, I was chafed in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. There's a lot of verses there to preach on, but let's just put it real plain here. You can't be clean before God unless you first acknowledge that you are the problem, that you have sinned, and who's your sin against? What did David say? Against thee only have I sinned. Who do we sin against when we sin, folks? God. You say, well, I offended this person, or I hurt this person with my words, or whatever it may be. Sin is first and foremost against God. And I know you've got to make things right with people, and you should, but first and foremost, deal with God when it comes to your sin. So I personally believe that the three hardest words to say in the English language are, I have sinned. Or like a lot of times we avoid, I was wrong. We don't like saying that, do we? You know why I don't like saying that? Because we want people to think that we're never wrong. You're never wrong, are you? In your own eyes, you're never wrong. But if you're honest, actually you are wrong. But you like to think that you're never wrong. Folks, again, people stayed here in this room a lot longer than me. You know this to be true if you're right with the Lord. On the daily, you got to say to the Lord, Lord, I blew it right there. And it was my fault. Nobody else to blame. It was me. And Lord, I need you to cleanse me. I want to stand in a right relationship with you. I want to keep walking with you. And I want to clear this off. I want to make sure that I'm right with you. And I know that the only way to do that is to first say, I am wrong. So I don't know who needs to say that this morning. Actually, I do. I think we all do. If not something that happened this morning since the time you got up, sometime today or tomorrow, you're going to need to acknowledge, I was wrong. Can we just put it in biblical terms? I'm sugarcoating it. I have sinned against God. That's what we need to say. So if you're saved here this morning, you need to stay, hopefully you want to stay in fellowship with God. And that's what it takes, is the right acknowledgement. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, the first thing you need to do is acknowledge, I am a sinner and I am standing right here wide open before God. My sin's right here keeping me from knowing God. You got to make that acknowledgement. So first thing to be clean is the right acknowledgement. Let's go back there to Mark chapter 1. Let's get the next thing here. We got three things that you need that are the right thing. The first one being the right acknowledgement. And I'll tell you this, the rest of the message is worthless if we don't get that one down really good. You got to first acknowledge what you are before you can get right with God. So let's see what this leper, and I tell you, this is the beauty of Scripture. I'll just kind of take a little time out here for a minute. I know that we are reading something we just read from the Old Testament. I know that we're reading a passage here before the cross. But you understand, I hope you understand, you've been here on Sunday nights, there's something to be applied no matter where you're reading in the Bible. There's something to be applied from the Scripture to your personal standing with God, your personal life. So, and I say that because it's real easy to say, I just want to read the New Testament. And then even some go further than that. They say, I'll just read the epistles of Paul. You are missing out, man. Read all the Bible. There's something for you to apply practically to your life in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the epistles of Paul, in the Old Testament law even. There's something for you there. So I say that because we ought to be a church of Bible readers. Amen? We ought to be people who study and read the Bible, and you ought to read the whole Bible. I challenge you to read the whole Bible. If you've never done that, take a year, read all the way through. You can do it in 15 minutes a day. If you're a slow reader, it might take you 20. But you surely got that much time in a day, right? Read through the whole Bible in a year. And the thing, what you'll do is you'll get the big picture of God's plan all the way from the very beginning to now, to the future. You understand how God works if you read the whole Bible. You miss that if you only focus on certain parts. So I know we're in the book of Mark, and we're talking about this leper. And I know that we don't really have a leper problem today, leprosy problem today. But there's something to be learned about this man and his interaction with Jesus Christ that we can all take something from. So look what he says here. Look at verse, I'm going to read 40 again. I know you already read it, but it makes sense to read 40 with the next two verses. So let's read 40 again. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him. Okay, so far we've seen the word him 1, 2, 3, 4 times. The leper goes to him. He beseeches him. He kneels down to him. He says unto him, who's him? That's Jesus Christ. Notice the action of the leper. He comes to him. He beseeches him. We would maybe not use that word. We would use the word beg. That's the same idea there. He kneels down to him. He's bowing before him. And then he speaks to Jesus Christ. He puts himself in the right position, recognizing who Jesus is before he says a word. So look at verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Now, there's a whole lot here, but the next point is, if you want to be clean, you need the right acknowledgement, but you have to make that acknowledgement before the right person. You need the right person. This leper goes to the only person on earth at the time that could cleanse him. And that person is who? Jesus Christ. A couple things. Now, this is not really part of the message, but I can't avoid these because they're fun. Notice in verse 42, and as soon as he had spoken. And to add emphasis, the Holy Spirit put a word after that. What's that word? Immediately. The leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. This is not really in the notes even, but this is neat. If you go to the right person, the Lord Jesus Christ, with the right acknowledgement that you need to be clean because you're a sinner, and you ask him to cleanse you, knowing that only he can, how long does the process take to be clean? It happens the very moment the words are spoken by him in this instance. How long does it take you to clean your house? My wife actually made a confession there. Some of you, maybe only a few minutes, in some cases a few hours. One thing I'm going to do tomorrow, it's been a crazy week at where I work, and my office is I have an office and a closet that are an absolute disaster zone right now. Because at the last minute, things got thrown in there before they could all be organized and straightened. So you know what I'm going to spend probably half the morning, if not the whole morning, doing tomorrow? It's going to take me at least a couple hours. I'll be cleaning. I'll be straightening. It will not be immediately, but how great would it be if it could happen immediately? I just go in there and say a few words and it's all done. You could get the fastest cleaner in the world in there and it's going to take them at least an hour with my mess I got. It's probably going to take me longer than that. But just to remind you, when you and I clean something, it takes time and effort. When the Lord cleanses the sinner, it takes no time. Amen. Here's the great thing about that. You don't have to go to the Lord and ask him to save you and then say, man, am I in limbo? Am I in a place of in between where maybe he'll save me and maybe he won't save me? Or maybe he didn't even hear me. Maybe I'm not even saved. Do you have to worry about that? No, you don't have to worry about that at all because the work of Jesus Christ is immediate. It's instantaneous. Aren't you glad for that? Now, back in the days before the internet, anybody ever pay bills by U.S. mail? And I used to wonder. I would send in the check put it in the envelope and put the stamp on it. And I was putting a lot of faith and trust in the Postal Service to get my mail with my check to the right place. And when you did that, it took 3-4 days, sometimes a week. And actually, before the internet, you weren't even sure that your payment was received until you got another bill to see if they actually received the bill and put it towards your account, right? See, when man tries to do something like that, it takes time. When Jesus Christ clears your account of sin, it takes no time at all. Amen? It's instantaneous, immediate work. Are you seeing when God does something, it's a whole lot different when you and I do something? Oh, and when God does something, it's so much better than when we do something. It's going to take me a long time. It's going to take me effort to clean something tomorrow. It takes the Lord no time to cleanse a sinner. Amen to that? You need the right person. So, look at what this leper says here. He says at the end of verse 40, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And I'll just tell you this. There's a group of people that think not everybody can be saved. But your Bible says nothing of the sort. And what people have to do to prove that from the Bible is take verses out of context. In your Bible, all have sinned. And in your Bible, all can be saved. But it takes an acknowledgement of sin, and it takes you going to the right person. And obviously, he comes to the right person here. And look what Jesus says here. Some things here again in verse 41 I just can't skip over. And Jesus, he's moved with what? What's it say there? He's moved with compassion. That's really neat to me because here is a man that knows he's in a condition, leprosy, because of his uncleanness and ultimately because of his sin. And when he goes to Jesus Christ, the first thing Jesus does not say is, "Nope, you're too dirty. Nope, I can't fix leprosy. Nope, I know what you did in your past and I won't fix that. It's too much. It's too much sin for me to handle." The Lord would never say those things, would he? You know why? And we're going to get to the verse here in a minute, but I got to insert it in right now in the message. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from... It's 1 John 1. We'll get there in a minute. Jesus Christ's blood cleanses from all sin. That's murder. That's adultery. That's people who are thieves. That's you spewing wickedness and hatred out of your mouth, or things that come out of your mouth that should never come out of somebody's mouth. Anytime you defile another person in any way, I know these things we're talking about are never pleasant. I understand that. But anybody who's committed any of those acts can be clean if, first and foremost, they'll acknowledge they've done it. And number two, they go to Jesus Christ to be cleansed. So I'm just going to stop here and ask you again, what's your standing as far as how clean are you right now? Are you clean before the Lord? Now, I'm not talking about salvation either, because I'm looking at a lot of folks here. I've heard your testimony. You're saved. How do you stand before the Lord when it comes to just your daily fellowship with Him? Because the next point we're going to get to, you're going to see that your fellowship is dependent upon you being clean. Now, salvation is where it starts. But after that, it's your daily fellowship. You got to be clean to walk with God. So that brings me to the last thing here. The right person, after the right acknowledgement, and you need the right substance to be cleansed of your sins. So if you notice here in the passage, now this is where it gets a little deep, but we got a lot of folks that understand this, so I'm gonna cover this. In our passage, look what Jesus tells this man to do here in verse 44. 43, actually, we'll read it. "And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest." Now watch this part. "And offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." So I will not go into the details here right now, but you know that under the Old Testament priesthood, an animal sacrifice was required, right? You know that the animal had to not just be brought, but the animal had to be killed, and its blood had to be shed. And that was done on behalf of the person who brought the sacrifice. So there's still some, and I don't understand all this, I couldn't explain it all to you right now, I don't understand it all. There's something that the Old Testament law still has some power here at this moment, because you're at a point where Jesus Christ has not yet, at this point in history, died, been buried, and risen again. So there's some kind of connection here with this priesthood that needs to be taken care of. But if you were here in Sunday school, you know that there is no need of any earthly priest today for your sins to be taken away. Amen to that. Any Catholics that are here, any ex-Catholics, hopefully, you would know that for certain, because you were, if you've been a Catholic, you were dependent on a priest to take care of your sins if you're in that religion. And it's obviously a false religion, but there's a priest involved there. Now, that is no longer the case, because you're here in Sunday school, the high priest is Jesus Christ, the high priest. And he actually made the sacrifice. His blood atonement makes it possible for anybody to be clean. No need for animal sacrifice. So something I want to hit here. If you and I clean something, it takes time and effort. When the Lord cleanses the sinner, it happens immediately. It takes very little time, very little effort. You know why? The time and effort was already taken by Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. Here's what I'm saying. He already did the work. You can't do the work. It wouldn't help. And you don't have to do the work, because he already did the work. Amen? Isn't it a great thing to know that your salvation, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, is not of works? How come it's not of works? Because he already did the work. Can you live a sinless life? You can't. He did. Can you die for anybody's sins and it mean anything? No. He did already and it paid for your sins. Could you take your life back after you died? No, He did. He rose from the dead. So He did all the work. And all that took was, well, really, I would say 3 days, but His entire life, 33 and a half years, He took the time. He made the effort. You don't have to put the time and effort into being cleansed when it comes to your sin. Amen to that. So let's get to this last thing. The substance that is needed to be cleansed. The substance. Let's go over to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John 1. You need the right acknowledgement. You need the right person, Jesus Christ, and you need the right substance. And the most precious substance in the universe, I would argue, would be what we're going to see right here in 1 John 1. Go to verse 6. Now, this has to do with believers here. So look at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, before I get to verse 7, which is the blockbuster verse here, let me ask you a question. I want you to be honest here, too. Is it possible for a saved person to walk in darkness? It says there, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It sure does sound like a saved person can walk in darkness. Should a saved person continue walking in darkness? No, but you know what I found is saved people will walk in darkness sometimes for a long, long time. And the darkness continues unless you get in the light being Jesus Christ. You get back right with Him. Because look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now watch it here. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Folks, the right substance, the only substance that can wash away anybody's sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, how long ago did Jesus Christ die? About. How long ago was that? About 2,000 years. How many people in the world today? Almost 8 billion. How many people have lived I'm just including the last 2,000 years. We couldn't put a number on that. Billions and billions and billions. I don't know if you can even get into the trillions here. Astronomical numbers that you and I can't fathom. Would the blood of Jesus Christ actually wash away the sin of trillions of people? Amen, yeah. That is, I say that, and you just meditate on that for a while. Maybe this afternoon, take some time. That is the magnitude of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now you say, what's this about the blood? Tracy was telling me here just not too long ago. At the hospital, and Zane's here, he worked at the hospital, he'll tell you the same thing. Anybody in the medical field, Katie can tell you this. If you look at the blood profile of an individual without ever laying eyes on that person, Zane and Katie, can you say a lot about that person and their lifestyle just by looking at their blood profile? You never seen them. You never talk to them. You just look at their blood profile. Am I right? You can tell if, or at least you can deduce, you can get a good idea if they've been a drug user, right? Okay. You can get a good idea of, what substances they put in their body, if they're harmful. You can get a good idea if they got a lot of sugar in their bloodstream, right? Which is a good indication they might be obese, maybe, right? Talk to Zane and Katie. They tell you a whole lot more than I can about this. They're the medical experts. But I say that because blood tells so much about a person and their lifestyle. Just their blood. Now, I did a blood profile for my life insurance a few years ago, and it came out pretty good. And they insured me. Thank the Lord. You know, they won't insure you if you don't have a good blood profile because you're high risk. But I don't remember specifically, but my blood profile had some issues as well. I was deficient in some things. I can't remember off the top of my head what that was, but there was problems. So if you looked at any of us in here, we all are going to have some kind of issue with our blood profile. You know why there's some kind of issue with our blood? Because we started here this morning, we are all sinners. And the life of the flesh is in the what? In the blood. That blood tells the story of your life. Your blood, my blood, tells the story of our life. Guess who else's blood tells the story of their life? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you about Jesus' blood here. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'd say here's a whole, you get a whole message. We could spend a couple hours talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, but I'll try to keep it short here. 1 Peter 1, look at verse 18. What's so special about His blood? Well, He's sinless. That means His blood right off the bat is a whole lot different than yours and mine. Mine's contaminated because of my sin. 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, the silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the, what's that next word? Precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Folks, according to that verse, the blood of Jesus Christ is precious. You know what I can say about my blood? It's not precious. It's got problems. His blood is sinless. His blood is pure. His blood is perfect. Let me show you something else about His blood. Now, this will blow your mind. Go to Acts chapter 20. Go to Acts 20. Here's a fun one. Got to cover this real quick here. Look at Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 27. We'll get context in verse 27. And the next verse is a blockbuster. Acts 20, 27. I'd love to tell you that I completely understand this, but I'll just read it, and it pretty well speaks for itself. 27. This is Paul talking. He says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of who? Okay, so he mentions God, capital G there. That's God the Father. And then the next verse, with that in mind, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of what? Make sure you get that. The church of God, which He, who's the He referred to? God, which He hath purchased with His own. Now, there's a great verse on the what we call the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Therefore, whose blood was shed on your behalf? The blood of God Himself. You say, is that really say that? You study the verse yourself. I can't explain it. I just know that's what it says. Jesus Christ being God in the flesh, it makes sense that that would be the blood of God. Folks, that is the only blood that can cleanse you. I got to go to one more place here. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. You're in Acts, go to Romans. Then you got Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. We'll end here this morning, Ephesians chapter 1. Now, there's somebody out there who does not like the blood of Jesus Christ, and that would be the devil. And I'll show you something about this verse as we conclude here. Look at verse 7. Context in verse 5 is Jesus Christ. He's mentioned there. If you look back at verse 5, it mentions Jesus Christ. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, that's Jesus Christ. So verse 7, Jesus Christ is context, in whom we have redemption through what? His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. And if you look at this verse in other versions, you'll see there's an attack on the blood of Jesus Christ. You'll find the same thing in Colossians 1. That verse clearly says, in whom we have redemption. How do you get the redemption? Through His blood. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. You check other versions, they take out through His blood. There is no redemption without the blood of Jesus Christ. Didn't 1 John say that? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Folks, you need the right substance, and that substance is the precious, sinless blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. Revelation 1:5, it says over there that we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're saved, it says over there you're a king and a priest before God, and you're washed, you're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So, in closing here, I'll tell you a little story here. There was a soap manufacturer who was an unbeliever, and he's walking along with a preacher of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So, the soap manufacturer says to the preacher, here's what he said, "The gospel you preach has not done much good, for there's still a lot of wickedness in the world, and there's a lot of wicked people too." So the preacher didn't say anything, but they kept walking. And as they're walking, there's a child just happens to be making mud pies in the gutter. So the preacher says to the soap manufacturer, "Soap has not done much good in the world, I see, for there is still much dirt and many dirty people about." He's obviously looking at the kid making the mud pies. "Oh well," said the soap manufacturer, "soap is only useful when it is applied." Don't miss this. Soap is only useful when it is applied. The preacher said, "Exactly. So it is with the gospel that we proclaim." Now, I told you about the right acknowledgement. You got to go and acknowledge that you are the problem. You are a sinner. You got to go to the right person who died, was buried, and rose again. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And only His blood can cleanse you from your sins. So all that I said here, all that God's Word said, you may have heard it, but if you walk out of here and don't apply it, it was a waste of time this morning. Folks, don't miss out on applying the truths of God's Word. The right acknowledgement, the right person, and that right substance. So, two different kinds of people here today. You got people who may know the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been saved, whether short time or a long time. Maybe you need to be cleaned up. You're saved, but you need to get your fellowship back right with the Lord. Take the time this morning to do that. Go to the right person, make the right confession, and ask Him to cleanse you. And you got the promise of God's Word that He'll do so if you go about it the right way. Other kind of person we might have this morning, somebody who's not saved. You may not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if that's the case, same formula. You got to acknowledge, hey, I do need to be saved because I'm a sinner. Only one person can save you. I certainly can't. Nobody here can. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can guarantee that if you confess before Him your sin, you confess before Him that you need to be saved, and only He can save you, He will save you because His blood has been shed for you. Amen? So let's bow our heads here, and I hope that you will, not just hear, but do something about what you heard this morning. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us here as we respond. Lord, we sure thank You for Your words. Thank You for how there's always something for everybody here as we open up the Scriptures. Thank You for the power of Your words. Thank You for the power, the saving power of Jesus Christ. Help us not to get complacent or comfortable with who we are, saved people, believers in Jesus Christ. And also help those who may not be saved here, whether they're here or listening online, I pray that they would understand just what a great thing it is to be saved. Now, there's nothing greater. And I just pray that everybody here, no matter they're standing before You, everybody here would deal honestly and truthfully with You and truly be doers of the words that we've heard this morning, not just hearers. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.